Thank you for the reading. I appreciate that. As we think about how we interact with other people, it becomes so important in how we do things. We have no real control over them, but we do have control over ourselves. Today, we're going to go through a message I've entitled it, Living Grace Fully. But as we always do to begin, let's include God in our message and ask for His presence. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love, for Your Son, Your Spirit, Your presence in our life. Certainly, God, we ask for Your inspiration of this message, that You would speak the words You want spoken. Certainly, that the words heard would be those that You want heard. And that as You direct this message to the heart of each person that hears, that they hear exactly what You have planned for them. Thank You so very much for this opportunity, and we ask that You would continue and be with and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Hopefully you had a chance to check out the YouTube links that were a part of the bulletin of today's message. If you have not, please check out those either on the Facebook page or if you have access to the bulletin link. There's a couple of things that were very poignant in that. And the first one, I will briefly give it for those that have not or cannot reach the video, was a father with his daughter at a playground, and they decided to have a snack. And so they went over and sat down on a bench, and he opened his little cooler bag and pulled out two apples. And his daughter took those apples, both of them, and she immediately bit into the one, and then she bit into the second one. As a parent, he's thinking, this is not what she does. She's not one to take both or be greedy. This was so out of character for what he expected from her. And about the time he realized where he was talking and thinking about that, she handed him an apple and said, here, Daddy, this one's the sweetest. So his assumption was not reality. And the illustration is so poignant, and the video makes it even a little more clear, but the concept is there. And the question that comes up, have any of you made assumptions about someone else that turned out to be incorrect? I will be honest, I've done that more times than I can remember. It is so easy to make an assumption or jump to conclusions only to find out that those weren't what was reality. We've all made wrong assumptions. That's unfortunately part of the human nature in us. In the Church of Rome, Paul addresses a couple of issues, whether to eat meat or only vegetables, or whether to observe or not observe certain holy days. We're going to pick this up, and I will read through and make some comments, and then we will finish with some points from this message. The reading or the text of today is Romans 14, 1 through 13. And I, again, today will be using the Passion Translation. Verse 1, offer an open hand of fellowship to welcome every true believer, even though their faith may be weak and immature, and refuse to engage in debates with them concerning nothing more than opinions. Do you ever find yourself debating opinions? Certainly, if you've been a part of social media, you see this on a daily basis. My opinion is more important than your opinion, or I have to defend my position. But do you really? Verse 2, for example, one believer has no problem with eating all kinds of food, but another with weaker faith will only eat vegetables. Verse 3, the one who eats freely shouldn't judge and look down on the one who eats only vegetables. And the vegetarian must not judge and look down on the one who eats everything. Remember, God has welcomed him and taken him as his partner. Who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else's household servant? His own master is the one to evaluate whether he succeeds or fails. And God's servant will succeed, for God's power supports them and enables them to stand. Do I judge others? Do I make that choice? Verse 5. In the same way, one person regards a certain day as more sacred than another, and another person regards them all alike. There is nothing wrong with having different personal convictions about such matters. For the person who observes one day as especially sacred does it to honor the Lord. And the same is true regarding what a person eats. The one who eats everything eats to honor the Lord, because he gives thanks to God, and the one who has a special diet does it to honor the Lord, and he also gives thanks to God. The point of that is the focus is always on God. It's not on each other. It's not on itself. The focus is back to God. Verse 7, no one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. While we live, we must live with our master, and in death, we must bring honor to him. So dead or alive, we belong to our master. For this very reason, the anointed one died and was brought back to life again, so that we would become the Lord God over both the dead and the living. Why would you judge your brother or sister because of their diet, despising them for what they eat or don't eat? For we each will have our turn to stand before God's judgment seat, just as it is written, as surely as I am the living God, I tell you, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess the truth and glorify me. Verse 12, therefore, each one must answer for himself and give a personal account of his own life before God. So stop being critical and condemning others' believers, but instead determine to never deliberately cause a brother or a sister to stumble and fall because of your actions. We all have our opinions. We value them. They reflect what we believe. Everyone has their own opinion. If their opinion and what they believe is different than mine, who is wrong? Why do we feel we must defend our opinions? Why do we need the validation of our personal beliefs? Paul was describing the downfall in judging each other. They were creating divisions, stumbling blocks to transformation, and forgetting that all brothers and sisters are in Christ, which is far more important, being in Christ, than the foods we eat or the days we worship. Being in Christ. By comparing themselves, they were creating a false ranking system rather than seeing that in Christ we are all equal in righteousness, not because of what we do or don't do, but because of who Jesus is. The more that we compare, the more that we look at that, we are setting up a hierarchical approach. And if we are very honest, we tend to put ourselves pretty high on that pendulum. 4 points to think about as we reflect on this passage in Romans. The first point, examine your own motives and intentions. Why do I do what I do? Think about and ask yourself, why do you do what you do? Why do certain practices in your worship of God, why do you have certain ways of doing things? And I'll give you an example, and that would be prayer. For some, that is kneeling, sitting, laying down, speaking out loud or speaking in your head, in your mind, your prayer. Maybe it's a scheduled time that you always pray in the morning, or maybe noon or evening or bedtime. Which one is best? Which one is your opinion? And that's what it is. The fact that someone prays and their opinion or their time is different or how they pray is different, does it really matter? Do you believe that your worship is the right one, the only one? How you pray is the only correct way? If our practices are expressions of love and devotion rather than a fear-based legalism, we should understand that others' practice probably come from their unique self-expression. We are different. God created us different, but He loves each one of us in our differences. The second point, recognize that we make assumptions about others' behavior and they aren't always accurate. Just as the little girl took a bite of both apples and the father immediately thought, that doesn't make sense, she's not that way. Only to find out that his assumption was wrong. And it was wrong in a very positive way for that little girl. She put her dad first. The second video speaks of the lady and a package of cookies who she wrongly assumes are hers. Again, if you have a chance, please go look at those YouTubes. The next time you find yourself judging another person in a negative way, and usually when you judge, it is a negative way, and we pretty much all do that, unfortunately, try to stop and think of an alternative that is more positive yet feasible. You might even pause and ask God in that moment to show you what you need to do or not do. How to stop judging. The third point, seek to understand rather than persuade. Challenge yourself to listen, and rather than stating your own opinion or preference, ask questions to encourage the other person to share or make statements that encourage more detail, such as, tell me more. In our world today, it seems that everybody has an opinion and everybody feels they have to share it. And if you don't like my opinion, then you're wrong. You don't understand what is the reality. Don't always have to share our opinion. You know, sometimes the best thing is to just not respond. Ask so that you can understand, listen to learn, but don't listen so that you can debate and come back. That usually never ends in a positive way. The fourth point, look for things that might be stumbling blocks or obstacles for others. We determine to give up some of our own rights for the sake of others. Not responding in a negative way when you feel you are absolutely right and correct and they are absolutely wrong. There's a place for that to kind of happen, but it happens far too often in a negative manner. Verse 13, again, we're going to repeat. So stop being critical and condemning of other believers, but instead determine to never deliberately cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall because of your actions. Not responding may be the best alternative. Responding without an in-your-face or a negative corrective manner. Again, if it's about opinions, that's different than reality. We have a tendency to judge, and usually that judgment is negative. We can choose differently. Stop and think and pause before you respond. We can decide to hear about others' worship practices and devotion to God without needing to share our own, unless they ask. So often in a conversation, people listen only to a point of how can I respond. They're formulating their response rather than truly listening. As we do this over time, we will develop more compassion, which is the very mind of Christ. Further, we learn to love others as Jesus loves us. We learn to love others as Jesus loves us. Isn't that an awesome goal? Isn't that what we really would like to have? Really want to believe that we can love others as Jesus loves them? Isn't this where you want to be? Don't you want to reflect that love? Learning to love others as Jesus loves me. That's an awesome thing to be, but it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, it takes practice, and sometimes it's just listening. Thank you for listening with us today. If you have questions or we can pray for you about something, please reach out to us at our website at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you, and we want each one to have a very blessed and happy week.